Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to thank the Sunday school kids for doing such a great job with the music this morning, and thank you for that service to the church. You are the church, and we appreciate you guys so much, and you did such a great job. I also want to thank Ashton and Grayson for being great lectors. You know, that was quite a healthy piece of scripture they had to read. One of our adults at the first service said, next time you have me read, let it not be 5 pages. It was pretty lengthy. You know, most of us, maybe all of us, don't like surprises. We like our days, our weeks, our months, our lives planned out so that they're going according to a plan. This is especially true when the plan is working and our lives are going well. And it's most especially true in the church. You've heard the expression, but we've never done it that way before. It's a phrase that we sort of coined that mockingly, a sarcastic description of our expected reaction when someone suggests that we make a change in the church. However, what this passage tells us is that a major component of discipleship, of following Christ, around which the church is expected to center its life, is the expectation, if not the anticipation, of change. We are called here to live in the expectation that there will be times when the Spirit will figuratively, or maybe even literally, blow through our space like a violent wind, lighting us up with tongues of fire and giving us new languages, tongues we don't even know, and with which God speaks about His deeds, His powerful deeds, to those who will probably think we're drunk. This is the way it both was and was not for those first disciples and apostles on the day of Pentecost. It's how it was. After all, the sound like a violent wind, the tongues of fire, the new language, all that is more or less what actually happened. We've got the report right in front of us. We've just heard it. And yet it wasn't that way either, in that the disciples and the apostles weren't expecting such a phenomenon. They were waiting, to be sure, for some kind of sign or communication from God. And that's what the resurrected Lord told them to do. Go back to the city and wait. But, you know, they didn't wake up that morning saying, whoa, we're going to encounter this violent wind or sound like a mighty wind or tongues of fire and be sent out into the world to build a church. No, they just gathered to worship and pray. They weren't expecting a wind. They weren't expecting tongues of fire. They were there just to pray and wait. Well, let it be so for us today. Let it begin again for the first time on this day of Pentecost, when we celebrate that movement that started in Jerusalem, in that room upstairs where they were staying, 10 days after they witnessed the ascension of the Lord. How did it all begin for them? It was Pentecost, a Jewish holiday that began 50 days after the resurrection. And there could have been up to 120 people, 11 of the surviving apostles, and 100 or so disciples more who traveled with Jesus during his ministry. Jewish, all of them, at that point, with no desire to move away from the tradition, but continuing to keep faith with it, all together in one place, celebrating one of their Jewish holidays. That's our first clue of how it shall be for us. They were all together. They were not rebels per se against their tradition, Rebellion, in some sense, is really the substitution of one human tradition over another. They would certainly be accused of being rebellious, but that would come a little bit later. And it would not be the result of any defiant initiative on their own. They were not necessarily always in agreement, as the history that began there will attest. Nevertheless, they were there all together in one place with this as yet vaguely defined purpose, all together, looking together in the same direction. They didn't know exactly what to expect. They were told to wait for whatever was to come next, and that's what they did. Suddenly, that's a word that sort of gets you ready for something, doesn't it? Suddenly something happens that no one expected or anticipated, though after the events surrounding their master's life, death, and new life, they no doubt at least quietly acknowledge that anything could happen. But this? The sound of a great, mighty, violent wind. It's not too much of a point to quibble to point out that the text does not say it was a violent wind, but something that sounded like a violent wind. Because that quibble makes the important point that something happened that can only be talked about with word pictures. A violent wind? No, not exactly. Can't really say what on God's earth it was, but it sounded like a violent wind. And whatever it was, it filled the entire house. This was, in other words, something that was beyond human comprehension. Nothing that they themselves could have dreamed up or prepared for. Something that was truly beyond their imagination. It was the Spirit's initiative, not their own. Their initiative consisted solely of waiting. For what? They didn't even know. Then not just a wind, but fire. If you're a kid, you like fire, don't you? Boys. Maybe it's just me. Fire just brings a whole new dimension to the story, doesn't it? And this flame appears, divides into little tongues of fire appearing on all the disciples' heads, resting upon each one of them. The fire is an all-encompassing flame from heaven, and yet from the text we learn that there are individual flames resting upon individual disciples. There is individuality here. They're not all incorporated into some big, gigantic flame in which they all lose their identity within some quasi-spiritual oneness. Whatever it is that has blown through their space serves to bring them together, but individuality remains. And that individuality carries over into the language thing that we heard about. They are, we are told, filled with the Holy Spirit. An incomprehensible concept still to our modern ears, as with the sound of a violent wind. We're dealing with something here that defies description. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they are given languages to speak other than their own. Once again, uniqueness, individuality remains. But a uniqueness and an individuality newly oriented towards reaching out. They're not given one common language to speak, a secret language only they can understand. But they are given one language, each of them, it would appear, is given a different language, a different living language. Devout Jews of every nation in the known world were there in Jerusalem, either on business or to take part in the Jewish Pentecost tradition. Jews from all over the Roman Empire are there, and each one of them here, these inspired, that is, Spirit-filled disciples and apostles, speaking of God's deeds of power in their own language. But note carefully here that we're not speaking about speaking in tongues. That is something else entirely, something that's not within the scope of the mission given here. Nevertheless, the mission is what is happening here. Those disciples and apostles have been given exactly what they were sent to Jerusalem by the ascended Christ to wait for. They asked him just prior to his ascension, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Well, this adventure of something like a violent wind and tongues of fire and different languages, this is the answer to that question. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will restore the kingdom, not only to Israel, but beyond. From this point, this will be discipleship. This will be mission. This will be restoration, not just to restore the ancient kingdom of Israel, but to restore oneness between God and all humanity. All humanity. And it began in a small room, probably much like this one, maybe not the same architecture, with a small group of committed people, as we have here. God has brought us together today to worship and pray and wait. Will God's Spirit come to us like a mighty wind or tongues of fire upon each of the believers? I don't think so. God has a way sometimes of informing His church what He's doing with one great event. But the effects of that event are carried on in the church into perpetuity. The coming together to worship and pray with anticipation of His power is promised to every believer. Could it be that God's Spirit is already here? I believe it is. Ready to move us into mission, turning our eyes to the mission of reaching out to the whole world. Speaking about God's deeds of power, that is, of the mighty works of God has done in their lives and ours as well. The same conditions are set for today, even in our fractured, over-denominationalized, embattled, and schism-prone church of today. God has still called us by the gospel and given us faith through His Word and Spirit. The call to us from the risen Christ is the same as the call of the ascending Christ to our spiritual ancestors so long ago. Our question for today is slightly different from the question that they asked. Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? We might vary the request a little bit. We are told you're coming soon, Lord, but how soon is soon? When, O Lord, when? When will you restore to us the former greatness? When will you fill our churches and bring back those who are lapsed? And the answer is the same. Let us go ourselves to our places of worship and wait, watch, and pray. If not in perfect agreement, at least looking together in the same direction. In time, the Spirit will fill us according to God's great will. And it will be something that we won't fully understand, something we can't explain. It will light us up, and we'll know when it happens. We will be given strange languages to speak, tongues that are the common language for the people we've been sent to reach out to. And if we are faithful, it will happen, for God has promised. Let us wait, watch, and pray. And since we know the story, we can also anticipate the great coming of God's power upon us and upon our church. God is at work among us. You can see his fingerprints, as the kids sang, all over the place. Let us be ready when God calls us to our tasks. So may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.